Listen up, kids. I've got a question for you and for the grown-ups too. What do you say when you do something great? Like when you do something really amazing, what do you say? About 2 years ago, I was in this church and I was up behind where that desk is, and our youth worker, Garth, was up here and he threw a minty at me in chapel, and I just went and caught it right between my teeth. I'm not that good, okay? That was just like total fluke. What do you say when you do something great like that? You know what I said? You might need to turn the mic down. I said, "Woo!" And everyone thought I was a legend for about maybe half an hour afterwards. What do you say when you do something great, kids? I want to ask you. So you're out boogie boarding and you get a wave all the way out there and it just goes wham, straight all the way into the beach. What do you say when you do something great like that? Woohoo! Nice. What was that? Gnarly. Okay. That, totally gnarly, dude. What do you say when you shoot a three-pointer like you're on the other side of the basketball court all the way and you just like throw it backwards and it goes whoom, straight through. Doesn't even touch the ring, straight through. What do you say? Yeah. What do you say, Declan? Swish. Right, because you get it. What does my son Ben say when he beats me at a Wii game? Oh no, he just said, "Don't put me on the spot like that." Can anyone guess what he says? It starts with "in." Someone said it? In your face. In your face, Dad, he says, in your face. What do you say when you do something great? Like, does anyone know what the first man to step on the moon said? 1969, Neil Armstrong, Apollo, which? Right, yep. He said, say it with me if you know it. Do you know it? Tell me. Yes, that's right. That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. Great line. When you do something great, it's really good to follow it up with something. What does Groot say when he does something great? I am Groot. Right. That's what he says all the time. What about this guy when he takes off Buzz Lightyear? What does he say when he does something great? When he takes off? Yeah. What's that? Blast off. Close.
To infinity and beyond.
Beautiful. Give him a clap. To infinity and beyond. Winston Churchill. Does anyone know this face? Great guy. He was the Prime Minister of England, and in 1945, when they won the Second World War, or they won in Europe, do you know what anyone said, what he said? He said, "This is your victory." Something like that. He said, "This is your victory," as he chewed on his cigar. I've got to give you my favourite one is actually the Roman Emperor. The Roman Emperor Caesar won a great war in what is now modern Turkey. What did he say after he won the battle? Does anyone know Latin? Oh, very good. Who said that? Oh, well done, Benno. I'm giving you an Easter egg later. He said, "Veni, vidi, vici," which is, I came, I saw, I conquered. How good is that? Yeah, that's what my wife says when she beats me at cards. What does Bart Simpson say when he does something great? Someone said, "Eat my shorts." Who said that? Good work. The X generation people all know that. Here's my favourite one though. Serena Williams. She won the Australian tennis earlier this year, and she held the cup. She held the cup up high, and everyone screamed for like however long. And you know what she said after that? She said, "Wow, I give all praise to God." Nice line. So, my question for you is: when you do something great, what do you say? You got it in your head? Because you need to remember it for later on. Now, we're going to look at the Bible now, and we're looking at the story of the resurrection of Jesus. What did he say when he rose from the dead? What was his very first words that are recorded that he said to someone? Think about this carefully. Maybe you can think up what you think he should have said if you don't know what he did say. Think about this. This is Jesus Christ. He's God. He made the world. He made the sun and the stars and the moon. He made everything, and he was there before human beings like you were even invented. And then he came down as one of us, and they killed him, and they hurt him, and they tortured him, and it was terrible. And imagine that. And then He went down to hell. Imagine that. He went down to hell, and I love this story. Imagine that they're in hell and all the evil host, Satan and all these people, his minions, Satan has minions, they're all partying and Jesus arrives in hell. What do you think he said when he arrived in hell? I like to think he said, what was it? Eat my shorts. Nice. Well, I like to think he looked at the party and he said, hasta la vista, baby. But he broke that party. And by the way, Christians in our Apostles' Creed, we say we believe that Christ descended, he went down into hell. And when we say that, we are saying we think he went there to smash it, to beat it. That's what we're saying. So what did he actually say? Is it in the Bible? Well, it is. But it's only in one verse in the Bible. And do you know in the Bible, tell me, young people, kids, do you know in the Bible, who tells us the story of Jesus and his death and resurrection? It's five. Five people actually tell the story of Jesus rising from the dead. Can you tell me who they might be? Annika? Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. You are spot on. I'm going to give you an Easter egg later too. But it's five. Who else? Someone else tells the story of the resurrection. Quite clearly. Do you know who it is? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's Paul. Paul tells it too. Interestingly, the Bible nowhere describes the resurrection of Jesus. If you want to find how Jesus rose from the dead, it's not in the Bible. Not there. Not at all. What does the Bible instead tell us? It tells us about other people discovering the resurrection and encountering Jesus. It actually tells us their first-hand stuff, what they actually saw and experienced. But nowhere does it actually say exactly what happened when he rose. So, which one of these five tells us the words, the first words? He's just done something amazing. What's he going to say? It's in today's gospel reading in Matthew chapter 28. You heard it before. The very first words after someone did something greater than anything else that ever happened. Just take a moment, adults and kids. What do you think it would be really cool if Jesus said after he rose from the dead? Just make up something. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says later. This is okay to play with. Just tell someone nearby. He's risen from the dead and he sees his friends. What's the first thing that he says? What do you think he should say? Tell someone nearby for one moment. Okay. I'm going to tell you now. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9. When Jesus rises from the dead, the very first word he says in the ancient language is kairete. So it's kai. Rete, kairete. See if you can say that with me. Kairete. Have a shot. Ready? Kairete. Look at someone and say it to them. Kairete. It's a really interesting word. It's just a little tiny word. Often when people miss, they read the Bible and they miss this word completely. And this is a really interesting word because it looks very much like another famous word in the Bible, which is the word charis. You know what charis means? Total love. Grace. That's what charis means. So it's almost like the first word that Jesus said was total love, but it's not. It also looks like this little word, can you remember it again? Kairete. Give it a go. I want you to tell someone today, kairete. It also looks like another word, which is kairo. In fact, it comes from that word. You know what that word means? It looks like a word for rejoice or party. So it's almost like Jesus, the very first word he said when he saw his friends was, let's party! It would be really great if that's what it meant, but that is not what it means. And over 2,000 years, Bible teachers and scholars have done massive amounts of work to try and make the first words of Jesus into something amazing. I tried to this week too. So this week, I got out... Where's my English Bible? There. Got out my English Bible and I read it and looked up kairete. Not sure. Got out my Greek Bible in the ancient language and studied that. Apparently, I got out Ben's Bible. I got out my Walter Bauer, second, blah, blah, blah. I got out this and I looked up this word and I got out this and looked up this word and I got out this and I looked up and I thought, what does this word mean? Jesus, the very first word he said is kairete. What is that? What is kairete? It's got to be something special. It's got to be amazing. It's got to be better than Buzz Lightyear. But do you know what it means? Can anyone guess? Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah. The best translation in Australian English would be G'day. That is the best possible translation. In fact, kaireta, it basically means good to see you. It's a greeting. It's just a normal, common thing that you say. And so it's a big word that's turned into a little word, and just it just means g'day. That's literally what it is. Look, one of the scholars says, an ordinary greeting used when he met them that can perhaps best be rendered hello, or how do you do, or good morning. But I don't think that's quite right, because I looked it up, and it's a bogan word. It's a bogan word. It's a common word. It's a word that the people who live in Ipswich and drive Fords say. No. It's not a fancy word. It's not a fancy word that fancy schmancy people say. It's not, how do you do? And it's certainly not this terrible translation, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. That's what it says in most of your Bibles, greetings. No, kaireta is what people who wear flanny shirts say, like, hey, gan. G'day. It's that. It's kind of common, normal, gutter language, without the swearing, okay? Without that bit. I'm feeling a bit embarrassed about that, actually, because I really was expecting something better than the guy who landed on the moon. I mean, what if Jesus had said, that's one small step for a saviour, one giant leap for all mankind or something, humankind? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if they had spun the story and made it much, much more profound and poetic? So here's the question that I have for you. Every time this word is used in the Bible, by the way, it just means hi. Hi is another translation. Hi, or g'day. But here's the question for you. Why? Why did Matthew write it this way? Why couldn't it have been more entertaining and profound and memorable than that? Most people I know, including everyone at our first service, read the Bible reading and didn't even notice. Why? Can you tell? Can you tell someone nearby? You have a thought about this? Tell someone. I'm going to give you like 10 seconds. I'm going to be really quick. Why did Matthew write it this way? Okay, I'll tell you what I think. I think Matthew wrote it this way because it happened this way. I think that this is not a made-up story. In a made-up story, someone stands up and gives an impassioned, amazing speech. When I make up things, I think about the argument that I just had with someone, and I think of all the cool things I should have said. Do you do that? I could have said that. That would have been awesome. But this is embarrassing, and that's why I know it's true. Because what we have here is the honest version. Early Christians could have got down and they could have changed this text. They could have made it absolutely amazing. But instead, Matthew didn't write something more amazing because Jesus didn't say something more amazing. This is what he said. And what does that mean? It means that there's quite a bit that's actually embarrassing about the resurrection of Jesus. It's an embarrassing story for Christians. Just put away the miracles and the angels, just the ordinary bits are embarrassing too. And in the early church, way back 2,000 years ago, there were a lot of things that people criticized about this story. But you know, it's interesting, because embarrassing stories are often the true ones. Look, here's some embarrassing bits. The wrong people saw Jesus first. Who saw him first? Kids, who saw Jesus first? Do you know? The girls. The girls saw him first. Back then, that was all wrong. Girls weren't allowed to talk or even speak in court or tell people stuff. And that was embarrassing for the first Christians because they wanted to convince people that Jesus rose, but they had girls tell it. Go girls! Yeah! Jesus strikes a blow for all humanity and especially the most oppressed half the moment he rises. Think on that. What else was embarrassing? Well, what's embarrassing is that Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all told it differently. And when you read them, it's actually quite hard at first to work out how they can be telling the same thing because, like, one has one woman and one has three women and one has one angel and one has two angels and there's all these things that don't seem to match up. And it's the very first thing that people who don't believe in Jesus are atheists will try to smash you with is the resurrection accounts are different. And What do we do with that? It's embarrassing. I wish it was just like much more straightforward. I wish Jesus said something really profound and all of them said the same thing. But you know why they're different? Because it's real. If you saw a car accident and three other people saw the same car accident and you all described it, would you all say the same thing? Certainly not. If all four of you went to court and had to witness and say, I saw the car accident, and you all said exactly the same thing, what does that mean? It means you're lying. It means you all talked and worked your stories out together. But in real life, when people see something amazing, they actually tell it different ways. And you have to think pretty hard to fit it together sometimes in real life. And for the historians, that's how real history works. And the first Christians, they went and got these four stories and the one by Paul, and they put them in the Bible. You think that if they saw a problem with them looking different, they wouldn't have put them in, would they? They knew that there were differences. And they knew that these embarrassing bits show something. And the final thing that's really embarrassing is how Jesus' friends acted when they saw him. Imagine this. He's your best friend. You just hung around with him for 3 years. It's like youth. You went to radical camp with Jesus for 3 years, eating all that food. He'd be pretty fat after that. And how did they act when they first saw Jesus? This is embarrassing for them. Someone's going to write it. They wrote it down. And how did they act when they saw him? Do you know? Did they act like, hey, we knew you'd rise all along. Well done, dude. Were they like, yeah, we saw this coming? They didn't recognize him. They were scared. And they were confused. And I love Mark. Mark finishes his gospel with the line, trembling and bewildered, the women left the grave. And they told no one because they were scared. That's embarrassing. Why admit that? Well, because they were just telling the truth. They were just telling what they saw. So, let's finish this up. Jesus rose from the dead. And the very first thing he said, after conquering hell and smashing the evil of the universe, the very first thing he said to his mates was, how you going? G'day. What can we draw from that, apart from the fact that this is embarrassing and true? This is what I want you to think about this week. I want you to go home and discuss what can we draw from the fact that Jesus smashed Satan. He did a great thing and then just said, hi. I'll tell you what I think. I think Jesus said something ordinary. Because from now on, God invades the ordinary. From now on, ordinary things are how God works. Ordinary people like us, ordinary stuff is now God's extraordinary, power-filled, Holy Spirit stuff. That's what the resurrection means. I think Jesus said g'day because it's real, and he wanted you to know that what he's going to do next, it's going to be stuff in ordinary real life. He came back and he said something ordinary, so you would know that your ordinary life is where he lives now. And I also think that Jesus said, g'day, because this is the end of a journey. And when you arrive at the end of a journey, what do you say? Hi. G'day. Hello. One day, you're going to come to the end of your journey. Have no fear. It'll come to all of us. We'll get to the end of our journey. And you know what? Don't be afraid, because you're going to come to the end of your journey and you are going to see the risen Lord Jesus welcoming you. And you know what he's going to say to you? G'day.